Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. During the month of April, we are celebrating Jazz Appreciation Month. I'll have an in-depth chat with bassist, singer, and composer Antonio McLendon, who is also the father of jazz superstar Samara Joy.
When I look back at videos of us singing together and just the look in her eye, I keep seeing the little girl who would look at me doing things around the house musically, or you just never forget that look. You know, your kids get older, but I still see five children I have. You know, I have perfect visions of them in my mind as little kids. But my dad's mother, Miss Lavelle Drummond, she was an incredible singer. I remember as a little kid just loving to hear her sing. So people like her that the world didn't get to hear on a large scale, through my daughter, it feels like they're being seen and they're being heard.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. We have a very special guest on WBGO today, not only for the legacy of his family's music, but he's doing some great things. Born in Philadelphia, singer, composer, musician, bass player, Antonio McLendon joins us, who is a proud papa after his daughter, Samara Joy, won her sixth Grammy Award in the 2026 Grammy Award ceremonies in Los Angeles. Antonio, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Good to be here with you.
You and I got a chance to meet recently when Jimmy Jam was performing and had a special evening in New York City. And we sat next to each other, and I found out some interesting things about you and your daughter, Samara. And you told me that she didn't sing jazz when she was young.
No, she didn't. We're traditionally a gospel family, inspirationally founded. I kind of branched out in my early teens, 20s into, you know, R&B and some soul music and stuff like that, but never really jazz in our household. She discovered jazz on her own in high school.
You discovered music by playing piano and trombone at the age of seven.
And 7 years old. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I know you lost your dad, who was a tremendous performer as well, just last year at the age of 95. Our condolences go to you, and I know that this legacy has meant so much to the family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My mom and dad, from the time I only know my family singing, from the time I could know myself. You know, they started a choir called the Savettes, or a part of starting a choir called the Savettes, I believe it was the early 50s. And, you know, to have from that beginning, to have my dad still here to see all the blessings going on with my and my daughter's life and in our family's life of music was really incredible.
You can go on YouTube right now and you can see a wonderful video of Goldwire, your dad, singing with you and your daughter, Samara. It's just a wonderful program. And of course, Elder Goldwire McLendon was a runner-up on BET's Sunday's Best Season 3.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
At that time.
Wow. And Ruth McLendon, your mom, as you mentioned, founding members of the legendary gospel group, the Savettes Choral Group. So their signature song, by the way, Sunshine Follows Rain, is known throughout the Northeast gospel circuit.
Yeah.
Faith has meant a lot to this family, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It's our foundation. It's the our faith in God is what keeps us grounded. It keeps us hopeful, you know, it keeps the love that has bound our family together for years intact, you know.
And speaking of faith, probably your best Christmas present ever came at the age of 10 when something changed the course of your life and your career. A bass guitar. I'm sure you can remember. Where was the bass guitar sitting? Was it under the tree? Was it off to the side?
It was between the tree, the piano, and the fireplace. I remember the moment I came downstairs and saw it sitting there. About a year prior to that, gospel legend Andre Crouch, who wasn't really widely known at that time, came to Philadelphia, and I saw him and his band sing and perform. I saw their bass player, a man by the name of Billy Thetford, play, and all I knew is that I wanted to have an afro like his, and I wanted to play bass the way he did.
Wow. And you eventually got to perform with Andre Crouch.
Yeah, that was, I mean, just a wonderful, unexpected thing to happen in my life. Just by mutual friends who happened to know Andre Crouch, let him hear a song that we had done together. And Pastor Andre said, "Wow, I really got to get to know who this guy is singing." You know, his exact words were, "You know, this guy sounds like he loves Jesus more than me. So I don't think anybody loves Jesus more than me. So I got to meet this guy."
Oh, that's fabulous. So,
Yeah.
did you want the bass guitar? Was this a surprise? What when you got it when you were 10?
Since the time that I had seen Andre Crouch's band perform, I had been begging for a bass guitar and did not know that I was going to receive it that Christmas. It all began from there. It was over. It was over, as they say. I lived and breathed the bass guitar from the time I woke up to the time I used to fall asleep with it in my hands and laying in front of the radio, secretly trying to play R&B music because it wasn't allowed in my parents' house, secular music, not even a little bit. But I managed to pick up some few pointers from, you know, people like George Benson, who's not a bass player, but that scatting that he does attracted me. So I started doing that with the bass, and Larry Graham and people like that were my influences.
And during your teenage years, you became really well known throughout the Philadelphia area, southern New Jersey and Delaware, playing in churches. But as your career blossomed, you've already mentioned some pretty big names. We're going to mention a few more that you have either played or sang with, and that includes James Ingram, Gladys Knight, and Donna Summer. And Donna Summer's big hit, Let There Be Peace, Mistaken Identity CD. You were a big part of that song. Tell us about that experience.
That all came about through my brother-in-law, actually my sister's brother-in-law, a man by the name of Keith Diamond. Keith Diamond was the gentleman who discovered Billy Ocean. He wrote songs like Caribbean Queen and Suddenly. And when I moved to New York, when I met Keith, he just started pulling me under his wing, and I got to do I did a lot of demos for him for the artists he was doing songs with. So when he was working with James Ingram, he would have me sing things first to present to James, Gladys Knight, and he pulled me and my family in to do background for a project. He was working with Donna Summer, and I actually got an opportunity to like trade ad libs at the end with her, which is crazy and super memorable.
Well, I know my Lady Rose is a huge Donna Summer fan, and we have listened, and she has sang many Donna Summer tunes throughout the course of her singing career as well. Very special person in her life. You have really been, with some fantastic people, and along the way, you have displayed your singing talent. I love to hear you sing with Samara. Just some beautiful tunes that people can actually check out on YouTube. The Christmas song live at Ardmore Music Hall from 2022, and then Oh Holy Night live at Vivo. I see the way she looks at you when you're singing, and she is like, this is Dad, but this is somebody who was just singing some just beautiful tunes with me.
Yeah, it's when I look back at videos of us singing together, just the look in her eye, I keep seeing the little girl who would look at me doing things around the house musically, or you just never forget that look. You know, your kids get older, but I still see five children I have. You know, I have perfect visions of them in my mind as little kids, and that's that look I you know, I see, I think about when we're singing together.
Oh, night divine.
Oh, night divine.
Oh, night divine.
Oh, night divine.
Oh, night. Oh, night divine.
Do the kids all like to sing?
All of them. All of them.
When Samara won Best New Artist in 2023, I mean, jazz performers don't win Best New Artists, you know. And so she was so humble and so shocked in their acceptance speech. Were you in the audience that night?
Oh yeah. If you pan the camera to me, I was the big guy crying like a baby in the audience.
What did that mean to you?
Oh man, it meant that all of the years of, you know, my family's history and legacy in music, people got to see it, you know, because we are perfectly happy singing to each other, you know, around Christmas time and Thanksgiving tables, and there was never a thought of this is why we're doing that. But to have the world acknowledge it, you know, I immediately thought of my mother and my grandmother and people in my history who had been singing all their lives and nobody really got a chance. My mother, you get a chance to hear her. Some people are posting like Save That songs online. But my dad's mother, Miss Lavelle Drummond, she was an incredible singer. I remember as a little kid just loving to hear her sing. So people like her that the world didn't get to hear on a large scale through my daughter, it feels like they're being seen and they're being heard, and their stories are being told, you know.
That's beautiful. When we hear Samara and you sing Christmas songs, you can feel the faith based in those songs because you just don't go run of the mill singing a Christmas tune. I mean, there is so much feeling, and where you take these songs, they go into a little bit of a different stratosphere. They go into the heavens, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. We can't do anything without that influence. As far as me and my family believe, that's the reason we live. We live to display, you know, the love of God through music, the love of family through music. And you know, there's an old saying that was generated before I was born, but it was like, if you want to know if a person is a McClendon, just give them a mic, you know, from the time they're born, put a mic in their hand. And that is an incredible gift that we don't take lightly. And we're always giving thanks, no matter what we're singing, Christmas songs or inspirational song. We're always saying thank you to God through those songs, you know.
Do you remember what was one of the first songs you sang as Antonio McClendon that you can remember and meant something to you?
Well, to go back to the actual first song I ever sang like publicly in church, I was forced to sing it because my mother heard me write a song about a girl that I thought I was in love with at the time. And she said, "Okay, if you can write a song and sing about this little girl, you can sing about Jesus. So this Sunday, you will be singing in church."
Oh.
And the first song I ever sang publicly in that way was an Andre Crouch song, The Blood. Yeah.
One of the toughest things I had to do in church was I sang at my mom's funeral. And I know everybody's saying, "Can you get through it?" And mom and I, we just loved to sing together when I would come visit, and whether it be church songs or anything. So I said, "I had to do this. I had to do this for her." And it was very emotional. Emotion is a part of the McClendon family when they're singing. And I just love the range that you have when you sing. I mean, you go above Samara when you guys are singing together. You're singing way up there. Where did that range come from?
I think it's a couple of things contribute to it. The singing that I've heard in my household, my dad, my mother, and other influences, and the God-given ability to just interpret songs your own way. When I start singing, I never know where I'm going or whether it's going to be high or low. It's literally like I think about what I'm singing, I open my mouth, and this comes out that way. It's hardly ever planned to be that way.
I know jazz isn't your forte, but that is exactly what you do as you sing. You are actually interpreting the music in your head, and you're taking it to different levels as far as how you're feeling that night, just like a jazz musician on stage. So you have that jazz in you, Antonio.
It's in there somewhere. It's in there. The ability to hear, and it's almost like I don't know it until other people or musicians, comment on it. Like, we're like, wow, what made you go there? It's like, I don't know. It felt like the music was taking me there, so that's where I went. So maybe somewhere deep inside there was a jazz influence that, Samara picked up on.
You're listening to the award-winning WBGO Journal during this Jazz Appreciation Month. Let's head back now to my conversation with Antonio McClendon. You talked about the family legacy with your mom and your dad and Samara. And if you're a McClendon, you have a mic in your hand. But just because music is in the house doesn't mean that you're actually going to become a great singer, a great performer. So I think the word you said, God-given ability has something to do with the fact that all of you can be performers. Usually there's one, "No, I can't sing. That's the, I leave it up to the," but all of you have been able, to do this. How about you lately? What are some of the upcoming gigs you have?
Well, I've been blessed with some pretty wonderful people who believe in me as an artist and my music. One of them is a friend of mine from the Atlanta area. His name is Andre Ski Taylor. We've done some music together. Jabby Entertainment, Jabbi Entertainment. We have a song out right now called "Heal the Land," that I wrote. Just talks about how the country needs to come together and what's possible if we all come together.
Whoa. Who's gonna answer the call?
And who's gonna be the difference?
Nothing changes in the world.
Nothing changes
unless we change it.
We can't change the
we
world.
We can't change the world.
We can't change
oh,
the world.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
I've been working with a gentleman from the group that I've loved since the first day I heard them, Take Six. Kristen Dentley is his name. beautiful songwriter, composer. We're working on some things. And I released an album with the band Output Input. I believe it was 2024, we released that album. We're working on some new music. And an incredible writer from the UK, Mr. Mark Love, and his partner, Norval Smith. We're also working on new music. So it's about staying busy. You know, it's about getting the message of love out, no matter the genre, for me.
When you're writing, you mentioned how healing is part of what we need right now. Do you usually take topics that are current when you're writing, or do you like to go back into history and pull some stuff? Where does the writing process begin for you?
It kind of begins suddenly. It could be in our conversation right now, you'll say something, and in my mind, it'll be like, wow, that sounds like a song. And that's usually where it develops in like daily life, hearing things, hearing people's conversations with my friends and, you know, musical writing and production partners, like, wow, that could be something. That wasn't just an ordinary statement. That's a song. And that's kind of where it comes from.
Who that you haven't performed with, either that person can no longer be with us or can be, mm-hmm. Who would you like to perform with that you haven't had the opportunity to yet, and why?
A person who I would have liked to, who is no longer here, a couple. Donny Hathaway, Luther Vandross.
Don't get much better than that.
Can't get much better than that.
I think it was just this past year I spoke to Layla Hathaway, Donnie's daughter, obviously. Luther, I don't know. Is there anybody better that ever could sing? I don't know.
No. When it comes to just originality, interpreting a song, making you feel every single word, there's not too many people you'll find better at that than Luther Vandross.
Yeah, we lost him way too early. Still singing fantastic music. Okay, yeah. So it's Sunday, and mm-hmm. you're going to church. Where are you sitting? Are you with the choir, or where are you sitting? And what are some of the, you know, what's going through your mind? I mean, I can only imagine, like, when Sissy Houston would go to church, we know she'd always be in the choir. But where mm-hmm. are you at church?
I'm holding my bass guitar, sitting with the band. right now, Sunday mornings, I play for a wonderful church in Mount Vernon, New York, Greatest Centennial, AME Zion Church. And that's where you can find me on a Sunday morning, doing what I love.
Wow. That church might become a lot more crowded after this interview. you've revealed something that, I mean, many people probably know, but that church in Mount Vernon has mm-hmm. to be spectacular.
It's a wonderful place.
You know, that's wonderful the kind place. Of experience that not only do you look forward to going to the Sunday Mass, but as you're leaving, you are in such a great mood until somebody cuts you off in the parking lot or on the roadway. And 2 minutes later, you're probably about ready to swear at somebody after you just had this wonderful faithful experience. I always mm-hmm. get a kick out of that, is that, you know, we're in church and then somebody ruins that great feeling along the way.
Well, you're definitely going to leave church in the right frame of mind.
That's right, so. Spectacular. Do you think you've changed as a singer through the years?
If I can point to a way that I've changed, is I think I've just become more determined, the older I've gotten, to continue and to always be working on something new, you know, to always be present in the music. I think in a lot of ways, I'm a very hard critic on myself when it comes to my singing. And I think it's paid off for me not ever like kind of taking it easy on myself, to always try to be the best representation of myself when I sing.
The man upstairs says, I need you to make a choice today. Mm-hmm. Sing or play the bass for me. What are you doing?
I'm probably going to pick playing the bass. Yeah.
You love it that much, huh? I
I
mean,
love
it's you know, a
it's
lot of to be able to sing like you do and to be able, you know, and say you'd rather play the bass, that just shows the talent that's in the McClendon family. You took all the talent away from the rest of us.
bass playing produces less nerves when it comes to performing in front of people. Singing, usually I'm like, my heart starts pounding. I want to make sure I'm hitting the right note and remembering lyrics. And as much as I love to sing, you put a bass in my hand, I can pretty much just play anything comfortably without those nerves happening.
When you and I met, and we were talking sports first when we
Right.
first met, and Christian McBride was just on my Sports Jam podcast, and of course Christian's new album, Without Further Ado, Volume One, has your daughter Samara Joy singing "Old Folks." It's one of the most beautiful renditions, and Christian just said, "I need a ballad. What do you want to sing?" And then she thought for a moment and then said, "Old Folks." And as soon as I heard that, I said, "Christian, you're winning a Grammy Award." And he did for
And you
that.
did.
So she's a part of that Grammy Award-winning album as well. What do you think about her version of Old Folks?
She just continues to amaze me. To be 26 years old, and able to interpret the old folks' songs in a way that anybody, it just resonates with everybody. That's a gift. That's a God gift.
Everyone knows him as old folks, like the seasons, he'll come and he'll go, just as free as a bird and as good as his word. That's why everybody loves him so. Coffee tucks his napkin up under his chin, and that yellow cob pipe, it's so mellow, it's ripe. You needn't be ashamed of him.
Another gift she's given is she's brought new fans to the world of jazz. You know that, and that's a big thing, especially with stations like WBGO. That's a powerful thing to bring
Really
new young people into this music
is.
and then treat them with old folks, and something like that is a beautiful connection.
It's just perfect. I run out of words to describe how beautiful that is to bring people from different sides all together in one place to experience something beautiful,
What's the best advice Dad ever gave you?
My dad, keep God first. Trust in God with all your heart. Everything else will fall into place after that.
Is it a comfort knowing when he passed, knowing what a faithful man he was?
Truly a comfort. To look back over his life, my dad was a real person. He was a real believer in God. Not to put anybody down, but I lived with my dad most of my life, so I know what he was like in the house, outside the house, in church, outside of church. He was always the same person.
Antonio McClendon, what an honor it is to talk to you today. Congratulations to you. The best of luck with the McClendon family and with your daughter, Samara Joy. She is breaking new barriers all the time. And I know you're so proud. And we're thrilled to have you here on WBGO.
It is my honor.
You can see my entire interview with Antonio McLendon on the WBGO YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. If you enjoy the news programming you hear on your public station, WBGO, support us now. Call us at 800-499-9246 or make a pledge online from anywhere in the world at wbgo.org/support and continue to join us on this Jazz Appreciation Month.